So I need your help to do one thing before I jump in this morning, and that's because he's always just a little bit past the announcement time. So Denny, I'm going to make you stand up, okay? You got to help me thank Denny, because you guys bring your high B receipts, you put them in the box up there, and this is the man responsible for counting all of those. I have no idea how he does it, okay? And we just hit 100,000 again, and we're able to get $350. So help me thank Denny. Only 99,000 more, we have the next one, okay? So this is the time of year. We haven't done this for a couple years, so thought we'd revisit it, that some of you filled out slips, had some questions, different things, and we're going to approach those and begin to work on those over the next few weeks as we are together this morning. So as we get started this morning, I just need to share something a little bit personal, and that's this. I have participated in every bad decision I have ever made, okay? Just a little insight into me, okay? I was there for all of them, all the classics, okay? I participated in every one of them. I'm the one that talked myself into stuff, to buy stuff I didn't need, okay? I talked myself out of stuff all the time, okay? I have participated in every bad decision I have ever made. But here's why I can share that with you. Not because I know you won't go out and tell everybody, you know what a pastor said this morning, okay? It's because you have participated in every bad decision you have made, okay? You were there for every single one of them. All the ones you shouldn't have, all the things that you should have done, all the things you should have stopped, all the things you should have started. You were there and you participated for every bad decision you have ever made. Now, why do I start with that? Because we've just come out of a season of camp, and here's what I know about camp, because I've been there enough, been involved with the kids' camp enough. Here's what I know. At camp, you know, we feel stirred by God. We listen to sermons, we're part of the worship, and then we feel stirred. And in that stirring, normally a couple things happen, and that is, I'm going to stop something, okay? So it's very clear, you decided this week you were going to stop doing something, okay? Something you've been doing, not right, not sinful, not helping. Helps nobody, really hurting yourself, and you decided this week, and maybe you went down and prayed with a counselor, maybe just went up front as a sign of declaration, but you said, this time, it's over. I am going to stop doing this. And then perhaps this week, you decided you were going to start doing something. Most of the time, that involves reading the Bible, which it's just a challenge, isn't it? For some reason, it's just a challenge. And maybe this week, like, that's it. This is the time, this is the place, and I'm committing to it, and I am going to start doing something. Now, before all the tri-state campers think I'm just picking on them, we all do this, okay? These are normally the Sundays where some of you come up to me and go, do you have a spy in our house? How did you know we were going through that? You know, do you work part-time for the NSA? Is my Alexa giving you information about our house? That's normally the Sundays, your challenge. And you do the same thing. I do the same thing. I'm stirred. And I decided, boy, now's the time to stop doing this. It's time to stop, time to stop, time to stop. And it's time maybe to start. So a couple weeks ago when we were looking at this whole idea of our words can either build or they can tear down, you probably went and said, gosh, maybe I should stop calling my spouse and children idiots. Maybe I should stop doing that, okay? That might be a good thing to stop doing. And then there might be positive things to start. So we do the same thing, okay? And it's just the way of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Now, how do I know that? Because this happens to me all the time too, okay? Be listening, as I was last night, okay? We were listening, Stephen and I, to Lisa Turkers. Don't know if you ever heard of her. You should, okay? And we're listening to her speak, and we're just like, okay, she doesn't know her situation. She doesn't know who I am. But that's the way the Holy Spirit works. When God's words open, we are stirred. And quite often, we are stirred to stop doing something and to start doing something. But you ever wonder why those things don't last? Sometimes we're stirred and it lasts for 3 days, sometimes 3 weeks, if we're lucky, 3 months. Why is it that we're stirred by God to do something, to start doing something, or to stop doing something, but it never lasts very long, and we find ourselves back in old patterns and old routines. That's what I want us to think about this morning. And I think you could tie it to lots of things, but I want to tie it to something specific. In fact, it's a phrase. In fact, it's a phrase you'll find in a lot of movies. It's a phrase you'll find in certain, you know, on certain TV channels when you're watching certain TV movies. Same thing. And normally, it's a point of decision in the movie. And the music, you know, the background changes and the music softens. And normally it's a good friend, it's a close friend, and they lean in close and they say, the main character doesn't know what to do, we're struggling, what do we do? And some best friend comes along and says, oh, I know. Here it is. Follow your heart. Follow your heart, okay? So that means don't marry the guy, that means whatever it means, right? Move, don't move, okay? But at the moment, the music, and it's true, the music drops, it softens, and then there's this advice, okay? Now that might seem normal, you might have given that advice, you might have had that advice given to you. But here's the problem, when I open up God's word, I don't find this anywhere. I don't find the idea of follow your heart, okay? So when David's heading down into the valley with his sling and he's talking to Saul, right? And Saul's trying to put his armor in it on him and David's getting ready for battle. I don't see Saul go, hey, David, follow your heart, okay? I don't see that, okay? In fact, every time I do see the idea of the notion of follow your heart, it's like always something bad. So like Samson, okay, read his story. And he always gets in trouble over a woman. Why? Because he's following his heart, okay? And his parents try to tell him, I don't think you should do this. And other people are trying to give him advice, and he's just out there following his heart. So just so you understand, Scripture just says something really different, okay? And here it is. And it's something that Jeremiah got to write and got to pen down for us. And Jeremiah, if you think your job is bad, read the book of Jeremiah. His job was really bad. He's a prophet who gets to go tell everybody that Nebuchadnezzar's coming in to wipe us all out and to take people into captivity, and basically God's putting us in timeout for 7 years. Because he's mad, you're not following his commands, and it's the only way he believes he can get our attention. Come in, wipe everything out, send people into captivity, and that's Jeremiah's job, okay? Now you can imagine if somebody's job was that, nobody would like them very much. And so they took Jeremiah, they beat him up and threw him down in a well. Because of what he was saying. And he kept saying it from the well, okay? He kept telling everybody, listen, this is going to happen. And so this is part of what God has him tell his people who he's very upset about. He's very upset what they're doing. This is what he says to them. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? I didn't find that on the Hallmark Channel. I'm just telling you, okay? I did not find that in a card, okay? Right? I mean, this is not what we think. This is just not what we're told. This is not what we find anywhere. That the human heart, the thing that we say, follow your hearts. Go with what your heart says. Is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Wow, that's great contrast. Okay, that is total opposite side of what we often hear and often tell ourselves when it comes to how we make decisions and what we do. He continues, but I, the Lord, search all hearts, examine secret motives, and give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. That's how he wraps up just this whole idea. Listen, God says, I know the heart. Okay, it's wicked. It'll always steer you wrong. If you decide you're going to follow it, just expect to make bad decisions and be back at camp going, I'm going to stop. I need to start. I need to stop. You're going to be in that same boat again in 3 weeks or 3 months or 3 days, whatever comes first, struggling with how do we move forward with what God wants us to do. So perhaps the best little snippet comes from Solomon, who is teaching his son in the book of Proverbs, and he makes this incredible statement. Guard your heart above all else, Like in other words, son, if you forget everything else, which you probably will, if you forget everything else I told you about, you know, your money and all these different issues that he talks about in the book of Proverbs, about his words and his tongue and laziness and all those different things. Son, you forget everything else. You tune me out for everything else. Please tune in for this one. Guard your heart. For it determines the course of your life. It will determine for you where you end up. It is going to determine the course you take. So if in a year you're back to, I need to stop, I need to start, and in 3 days, 3 months, 3 weeks, we're back there, then perhaps it's because our heart is determining the course of our life, and we need to guard our hearts instead of following our hearts. Now, that probably sounds really nice, but how on earth do we do that? So, right, can we just stand there and go, how do I do that? That's how we would end this morning. You would all be confused, and we all went, well, I got to guard my heart. I have no idea what that looks like, okay? Invisible dog fence. I don't know what that looks like, right? How am I supposed to do that? How am I supposed to guard this thing called the heart, which God says is just wicked, and we really don't know how bad it is? So I came across these about two or three weeks ago. And I think these are brilliant. They're so smart. I didn't come up with them. I've kind of adapted them for where I want to take us this morning. But I think there's three decisions that you and I can make that will help us to guard our hearts so that we actually are going in the right direction, because it is going to determine the course and direction of our life. So here's the first one. I will not lie to myself, even when the truth makes me feel bad about myself. Now, this is huge right now. This whole idea is the last thing you want to do in your life is feel bad about yourself. Okay? There are worse things that could happen to you than just to feel bad about yourself. But I will not lie to myself, even when the truth makes me feel bad about myself. That I have to be brutally honest if I'm going to go anywhere in keeping the things that I need to stop and the things that I need to start. I have to be brutally honest. Why do I keep going back? Why am I stuck in that thing? Why am I stuck in that sin? Do you know why? Because you can't change what you're not truthful about. You cannot change what you are not truthful about. And boy, I don't know about you, but I can talk myself into about anything, okay? And salespeople really should understand that they ought to just get out of the way, and we will talk ourselves into buying the things that we don't need, okay? And that we don't have room for, and we really don't need one with all those gadgets and buttons. But man, there's all those gadgets and buttons, okay? That's why we want it. And so we would talk ourselves into so much because so often we just lie to ourselves because the truth might make me feel bad about myself. But you can't change what you're not truthful about. You can't change what you are not truthful about. This is why Jesus says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will actually do what? It will set you free. And there's a part of us that's got to be brutally honest about why I'm doing what I'm doing. How did I get into this place? How did we get so far, you know, in this hole? And so often it's being truthful with ourselves. So part of guarding my heart is I'm not going to tell myself lies anymore. I'm not going to tell myself lies anymore. I'm going to tell myself the truth. Even when it's hard, even when it's difficult, even when it makes me feel bad that I actually am that way, I've got to do something about this. No more pretending, no more excuses. I'm going to tell myself the truth no matter what. If we can make that decision, that will go a huge way into us to stop following our hearts and actually guarding our hearts. Instead of telling ourselves lies, so we end up getting what we think is the best thing for us, when it might actually be the worst thing for us. Number two, I will choose what I value most over what I want now. This is really, really hard. I'm not even going to pretend. This is really, really hard. And if you can do this, you will make huge strides in lots of areas of your life. I will choose what I value most over what I want now. Because most of us live day to day by what I want now. What I want now, and I want to get that now. And I want to access that now, and I want to have that now. And we don't think about what is more valuable for us and the thing that we hold as more important We just think, I want that now, so I'm going to have it now. I deserve it. I work hard. I should get what I want. And we may, again, we tell ourselves all sorts of things so that we get what we want now over what we should be valuing the most. So what do you value most? I'm going to give you a couple examples because I think this is something we just got to put a little bit of meat to understand, okay, so what does this look like, okay? So let me give you three examples. You want that new car, but you also want to be debt-free. See the contrast? And you go out, and come on, it's an Audi. It's got leather. It's got memory everything, okay? It's got heated and cooled seats. It's got everything. And the sticker price is just, you know, it's got more stuff on it than anybody could ever need, but isn't it awesome? You ever rent one of those cars with all that gadgetry in it? It's just addictive, okay? I guess I'm just confessing this morning, okay? It's just addictive, okay? It's addictive to have all that stuff, okay? It's incredible. But do I want what I want now? If what I value most is to not be such in a hole all the time, owing so much, do you see the difference? And quite often, what do? We want the Audi. So we go get the Audi. And we end up paying for the Audi for the next 10 years. And we're like, wow, how did we not out of this hole? Weren't we really close? And it's deeper now because we decide what we want now over what we value most. We do this all the time. We can do it in areas of, do you want to be liked or do you want to be respected? If I want to be liked, right, we just do everything to make everybody happy around us. If that's what we want now. To everybody like us. But to be respected is what, if we value that most, we do things differently and we make different decisions. And sometimes that means having hard conversations because it's not just about being liked, it's about being respected. What I want now over what I value most. This is why this is really hard, because most of us, let's just be honest, on a typical day are going to choose what I want now every single time. Every single time. And in our world, the third one is huge. Am I going to value most purity, or what I want now is sexual pleasure? However it takes to get that, whatever I have to exploit to get that, what I have to do to get that. Because purity on top of valuing yourself, you are actually valuing the other person. That's what you're actually doing. You're actually valuing the other person. Because our culture just treats everybody like objects. That's what it is. It's an object. They're an object. Take advantage of them. Get what you want from them. Get what you need and dump them. And move on to the next person. And that's how our culture looks and values each other. Okay? But when you value purity, what happens? Now I raise the value of that person up. And I raise my own value up by saying, you know what? There are things that are important to wait for. And in waiting, I actually value more that person than I could at any other point. And so it's all that decision, what I want now over what I value most. It's really, really hard. But if you can do that, you're going to guard your hearts. If you can do that, you will guard your hearts. And you will decide over and over again, no, 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 because I want this. And this might take a little time. And this might take a little bit longer. And this might require a little bit of patience over here, what I value most. But it's always worth it. It's always worth the wait. It's always worth the investment. It's always worth looking for that moment. What should we value most if we're following Christ? Well, here's what Jesus says. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Your love for one another. We'll prove to the world. So what should we value most if we're following Jesus? Each other is who we should value most. And how many things do I want now that doesn't value the other person, that tries to take advantage of the other person or will hurt the other person or will do whatever can to the other person in order so I can get what I want now? Decision number three. I will never lead myself by myself. I will never lead myself by myself. So what does that mean? That goes back to last week and this whole idea that we need to invite people into our lives who are ahead of us, who can help us, and who can, you know, who we can ask questions to and say, that's where I want to be, and I don't know how to get there. How did you get there? Important things. And we ought to just arrive at the conclusion, I just can't leave myself by myself. Why? Well, I talked myself into all these things I shouldn't be talking myself into. So I don't need to do more of myself. I need someone to help me. So I can never leave myself by myself. We say this quite often. Some of you have heard this. Your friends will determine the direction and quality of your life. They just will. They just will. Don't think you just hang around whoever you want and that doesn't matter. It does. It does matter. It does make a difference because you're never going to lead yourself by yourself, and the people around you are going to have influence over the direction that you're going. Solomon says it this way, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. So I will never lead myself by myself. So think about it. Every time we have one of those moments that say, I'm going to stop or I'm going to start. Who do we invite into that? Who do we invite into that stirring that God has done in us, that the Holy Spirit's done in us, that we've arrived at the conclusion, I need to stop and I need to start? Who gets invited into that? My guess is most of the time, nobody. Nobody. You felt bad. Okay, God, this time I promise I'm going to stop. But nobody got invited into that. And when nobody got invited into that decision, it became very easy for that decision not to take any roots. Very easy. Why? Well, you're the only one that knows. You made that decision, you and God. And, well, God will forgive me, so I guess I can just do what I want, right? That's what we do. That's just where our hearts are. That's why they're wicked, and they just lead us into making so many bad decisions. Because why? We'll talk ourselves out of the decision we made. Oh, well, I know I made that decision. None of my friends made that decision, so why should I make that decision? Okay? Well, I got to be the only one standing alone. I'm just going to do what everybody else does. And that's how we end up right back there. Because we've never taken that decision. I'm going to stop. I'm going to start. And we've never opened that decision to anybody else to say, hey, this morning, did you hear that? You know, this week at camp, you know, this is where God took me, and I just need help because, I made this decision, but nobody else knows about this decision. It's why we have to invite others into our lives. Because once you invite somebody into that decision has far more opportunity to take roots. Because now someone else is involved. And someone else who cares about you, who cares about the direction of your life, is going to be saying, hey, how's it going with that decision? How's it going stopping that? How's it going starting that? Okay? They keep making the improvements all the time, but on the Bible app, you could actually, if you decided this week, if you decide this morning, hey, okay, that's it, I got to start reading my Bible every day, you can actually do a Bible plan with somebody, okay? They actually give you the choice. Do I want to do it by myself, or I want to do it with friends? And how many of us, when we're doing a plan, go, by myself, by myself, by myself, by myself? We punch that every single time. And maybe if we hit with friends, and we invited someone else in, just that little bit of accountability, and not choosing to lead myself by myself, would actually allow that decision to stick and take some roots and go in the direction that we need to go. So here's the three decisions. I'm going to run by them again, because these will help. And you're probably going to pick out one this morning and say, oh boy, I really need to do that. If I could just do that, it would incredibly help me. Okay? So this first one, I will not lie to myself even when the truth makes me feel bad about myself. For some of you, this is the one. If you could just do this week, it would make a huge difference in what you stop and what you start doing, that you really know the Holy Spirit has stirred you to do that. I will choose what I value most over what I want now. Again, if you're always talking yourself into something, okay, you need to know, what do you value most? Write it down. If you write it down, if you're married and you share it with your spouse, you talk about it with somebody else, hey, here's what we're going to value most. So this is going to change our decision-making process. That's going to change your decision-making process, because this is now what I value most. This is what I'm running after. I will never leave myself by myself. Who are you going to invite in to talk about the things you need to stop and the things you need to start? What if you invited one person to sit across the table from you, like Josh, a cup of coffee, okay, in the coffee shop, okay? Sit across the table from you and say, hey, I really need to stop. And I really need to start. You have any wisdom? You ever been there? You ever done that? Can you just pray for me and encourage me? Because I need to stop and I need to start. Because guarding your heart helps us to live the life that God designed for us. It's really the ultimate bottom line. Guarding your heart helps us lead to live the life God designed for us. And it's no more the go back year after year to camp. And okay, this year, finally, I've been here for 5 years. This year, I'm going to stop. Or this year, I'm going to start. What if we just end the cycle? Say today, I'm going to stop, I'm going to start, because I'm not going to lie to myself anymore. I'm going to make sure there's people in my life who can help me out. I'm going to figure out what I'm valuing the most, and I'm going to do that. So I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. And we're going to pray together, and Josh and Shayla are going to come up and lead us in a couple more songs this morning. So as you're standing there, close your eyes if you would. I want to just give you a private moment with the Holy Spirit. Because this is your opportunity to actually just confirm. And I just want to ask you, where is it? Are you the type of person that just talks yourself in everything? We just lie to ourselves. Are you the type of person that just, and it's all of us, we just need someone else to help us? Stop following your heart. Start with the help of the Holy Spirit and the church that you're a part of here, where people who love you and care about you. And start seeing what God would do with those stopping and starting, if you would just invite him in.